What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to our Twitter account, at 102.5 The Game, and vote. Our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. We have whittled this thing down to four athletes, three number one seeds and a two seed. Steve McNair versus Shea Weber, former Predators captain, and Eddie George. Eddie. Yeah, we heard that for years, that chant in the stands. Versus Pecorine, who is the most popular Predators player ever. And he's going to go down that way, and it's going to be a long time before anybody is more popular than Pecorine. So that's what we have in our Final Four. So the voting is there. You've got about 9 more hours to vote, so submit those votes. And we had a great conversation with Eddie George on the show, and we wanted you to hear it, and here's how it went down. Eddie George, who was on the line with us. Eddie, how you doing?
Man, great. You know, we were talking about the trailers just a moment ago. In fact, that was an upgrade from our facilities in Houston. So we just go together. So we were like, oh, this is grand. We got trailer parks for our meeting rooms. Our weight room was in a medical facility. We're walking by offices as we're going to our workouts. Our bikes were in the hallways. Yeah, it was. You know, our stationary bikes were, like, in the hallway, and people are walking by from lunch break. It was just fantastic.
In all seriousness, how crazy – I mean, here you are, a guy that goes from Ohio State, which, you know, that program's got top-notch facilities at that time, and you're in the NFL. You're a first-round pick, and it was obviously chaos and craziness in Houston before you eventually – how weird was it starting out your career like that?
Well, that's all I knew. I was thinking to myself, man, this is the NFL? This is the glamorous life? Like, I'm thinking, you know, best of everything, jacuzzis, catering services, massage therapists, the top-notch equipment. In fact, you know, to get our jock straps, they had it in a bin, and it was open season. So it was like you have to dig in there and find your size and take it from there, you know. And then the pads and everything else were just like in buckets in the middle of the floor. It was like Pop Warner. It was crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
it was madness. And I remember this was like in the mid-90s. You know, guys are still on the back end of like taking smoke breaks in the parking lot. You know, it was smoke cigarettes, and you know, it wasn't the TB12 workouts or anything of that nature. We would go get lunch at a local Mexican restaurant or Chinese spot or McDonald's, and we'll come back with our lunch. It was nothing like it is today, where they have catering service. They have their own chefs now, so it was quite different. And I think that's what made us really humbled. Well, humbled me. And once we got to Nashville, and once 99 came around, we got the facility and everything else, it was like, oh my God, this is heaven. We got to protect this. So it was interesting times for sure.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about kale shakes in that story.
No kale shakes, no avocado ice cream, none of that.
So then you get here and you're playing basically away games as home games in Memphis, yeah. And then you're playing kind of away games as home games at Vanderbilt as we sat there and we're like, this is an NFL game and there's like 26,000 people there. Like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah.
And then you move into your new home, and so that's when it probably felt like, oh, so this is sold out game, so this is life in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's when we were like, oh God, we're this is a real NFL experience and we have to protect this at all costs. People are in the stands, and you know, there were standing room only in the preseason games. And when we saw that, we said we have got to win every single game in this building because we don't want to lose this love. It was something we never experienced before. Like you mentioned, I mean, we played in Memphis, and Memphis wasn't fond of us at that particular time. The fans weren't, and rightfully so. And then we got to Nashville. We played in Vanderbilt, and that still wasn't good enough. People walked by Vanderbilt on a Sunday, and they were thinking, hey, there's a church revival going on over there. You know, they had no idea it was an NFL game. So it was tough to give away tickets. We were second fiddle to the Nashville Cats. You know, they were the dogs of the town, and they got in, you know, restaurants for free and got free stuff and walked in the clubs, and we had to wait behind the lines and with the Oilers. So it wasn't a pretty time to be an Oiler or associated with the NFL in 97, 98 in Nashville, Tennessee. And once we changed the name and all so forth, and that's when things just changed for us.
I want everybody listening to this and listen to what Eddie just said, and it was absolutely true for all the growth, the massive growth of this city. Anybody who's been here 5 years or less, you probably just raised your eyebrow, tilted your head like a dog hearing a weird noise, and what he just said was absolutely the truth. Like, you would never believe that today, but what you said, Eddie, was spot on back then.
Yeah, it was crazy. Downtown was a ghost town. It was nothing like it is today.
Yeah.
So I've seen the city come a long way, and I'm really glad to be a part of the growth of the city and the people here, the resilience of the city. And I'm glad that it's become really a international city where people from all over the world are coming to see what we have to offer. And it's phenomenal to see the growth here.
You talked about the love, and we talked about it on this show. When those chants started for Derrick Henry, we were like, okay, he's not going anywhere, because we experienced this when you played here, the Eddie chants, and it had been a long time since we had heard the fans chanting a player's name throughout the stadium, and that was what was going on with Derrick Henry. We were like, yeah, he's not going anywhere, because they have to keep him. They don't have a choice.
Yeah, he's the face of the franchise. He has emerged not only as the number one player on the team, the go-to guy, the most dominant force on the team. The offense runs through him. But what impressed me the most is his leadership capabilities last year. He really became vocal when necessary. Guys are following his lead. You can see in the locker room after those big playoff wins, him breaking the huddle down, and guys are just riding his tail, man. And I know the feeling of that. They just love with the guy. And humble dude, a lot of tread on the tires. And I know that he got the franchise tag, but I believe that they're going to negotiate for a bigger deal, a fair deal, where it's a win-win on both sides, where he's comfortable, the organization is comfortable, and he gets compensated fairly. Because you look at his statistics, you look at what he means to a team, he's just not the running back. He is the focal point of the offense, and that's what we have to remember. You can't get caught into, well, running backs last this long, and look what happened to Todd Gurley, or what's going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott or Melvin Gordon. You know, Derek is a unique back, and he led his team to almost a Super Bowl berth based off of that. He's a unique player. He needs to get paid in a unique way, and I think they'll figure that out.
We're talking to Eddie George, number one seed in our Phil Bredesen region, and his vote, his bracket is up for the voting today. And so, Eddie, we're getting nostalgic. I'm going to take the same angle that I took with Brad Hopkins here earlier in the hour and go back to you developing as a young athlete. Tell me first, were you always football? How many other sports did you play, and when did you decide to really dedicate yourself to the game?
Oh, man. I dedicated myself to the game when I was 5 years old on Christmas Day. My father got me my first helmet, and it was a Washington Redskins helmet. I don't know why he got me that in Philadelphia, but I just loved the game of football, and that was a great way for me to bond with my father, because he loved the game of football. He loved great running backs. He loved Jim Brown. That was his favorite running back, and how he talked about and revered Jim Brown and some of the other backs that at that time, I wanted him to talk about me the same way. And that's when I really fell in love with the game. But as I got in high school, I had to do other sports to help my my game on the field. So I played, wrestled for 1 year. I was inspired by Vision Quest. I will never do that again after I wrestled.
That's a great 80s movie reference right there.
It really is. Vision Quest was it. I mean, you watch that movie, you walk out saying, I can go wrestle. I want to be like, shoot, until you get into the conditioning sessions, and it's a different animal. So I wrestled.
Now, did you have the nosebleed problem like the guy Matthew Modine had in the movie?
Yeah, I did, but I got busted in my nose by the wrestler. It wasn't because of, the strain, the stress, nothing like that. But I wrestled, ran track, and when I got to 14 Military Academy, my coach said, listen, if you want to play big-time college football, forget about basketball, forget about soccer, anything other than these cute sports. It's got to be running and football, and that's it. And that's what I stuck to.
Okay, and this is the other thing I asked Brad. He had an interesting answer. So this is open-ended. It doesn't have to be a football coach. But who was a youth league football coach that really tuned you in to what it took to be great and reach your potential?
A youth league football coach. Wow. I would have to say it was my high school coach, Mickey Sullivan. It was tough love with Mickey. At that particular time, my father wasn't physically present in my life. He was battling his demons in the streets. And Mickey, at the time, when I was about 15, 16 years old, saw something in me, not as a football player, but just as a man, to pull me aside and say, hey, young man, you need to get your act in order. And if you do want to play big-time college football, it's not going to be done on the football field. It's going to be done in the classroom. It's going to be done in the barracks. You have to change the way you think about yourself and how you present yourself first, and how you will do that will translate onto the football field, your work ethic and so forth. And he stayed on me. He grinded on me. He would go out of his way to make an example out of me. He called me this nickname. I hated this nickname. Pissed me off to death to this day, too. He called me Rose Petal. He says, you look great like a rose, but you're fragile. He's like a rose, and that bothered me. And I worked my tail off to prove him wrong and to go after. So he really attacked me and pushed me to be the best person I can be. And I love him to this day. In fact, he's going into the 14 Hall of Fame this year. So Mickey Sullivan, for me, has been that guy, that guiding light for me.
Who was the key? How did you arrive at the decision, you and your family, to go to Fork Union Military Academy? Because as you just pointed out, it sort of, it turns your life in a different direction.
This wasn't a family decision, okay? It was my mom's decision. We didn't sit down around the table and say, hey, we have some options for you. This is going to be a great thing for you. No. My mother enrolled me in the middle of the summer and said, you're going to go in 4 weeks to Fork Union Military Academy. And I cried, I kicked, I screamed, I called my grandmother, I called my high school coach, Coach Mollier, I called my father, I called everybody I could think of, the priest, anybody to get my mom to change her mind. And I remember taking the drive down to Fork Union, which is about 7.5 hours in Philadelphia. It was in my mom's 1980 orange T-Bird, T-Wing Mustang. And I said, one thing to her, I said, I have to go to the bathroom. That's it, the entire ride. I was extremely upset. So she sacrificed for me. And I don't know how she did it, because she worked as a flight attendant. She worked as a model. And it's a pretty penny to send me there. So she had to really pull some strings to get me into Fork Union. And that place has been phenomenal for me. And I sit on the board for Fork Union now. I firmly believe that young men that need discipline, that need a guiding light, or just need to have that environment where they can focus, that provides it for you, provides structure. It gives you a discipline. You'll see life differently. And I owe my entire life to Fork Union Military Academy, because I would not be where I am today without that place.
Now, making those calls, Eddie, that would have been on a payphone or a hard line, right? That would have been those were your options.
Right.
Eddie, we'll end with this at the end of our interview with B-Hoppy asked how you were doing because you guys are in the same region in this bracket. He's in control with his game today. And he said, how's Eddie doing, the one seed? I said, well, Brad, you can get this reference better than anybody other than Eddie. I said, right now, Eddie is headed to the end zone, and he's looking up at the Jumbotron, and he got a kick out of that because you got 93% of the votes right now.
Well, you know, it gets tougher, so we'll see. I think this is a great thing you guys are doing in light of all that's going on. I want to send out my prayers and condolences to those that have been affected by this virus. Thank you to all our first responders. Our people in the medical health care from Vanderbilt to all the hospitals in the area and the smaller hospitals. Thank you so much for putting their lives out there on the line for this. If we can encourage people just to stay inside, you know, I guess we're in the middle of that wave here in Middle Tennessee that's going to be coming. We're going to start to see spikes. So it behooves everyone to stay inside, be with your loved ones, take time to do some spring cleaning. And what you guys are doing right now is to get our minds off of what's going on right now. It's been tremendous. So thank you for providing a source of entertainment and calling me, calling Brad, calling everybody to get them to come on and to give the fans out there listening something else to focus their mind off of, and knowing that, hey, we want to get through this, but only the only way we can get through this is together. And if we can do it together by staying in and taking care of each other by doing that, that's the best way to do it.
Wow. Well said. Thank you for your time. As always, you and your family be safe, and we will certainly talk to you down the road. Thanks for doing this.
My man. Hey, blessings, man. Be safe.
Hope you enjoyed that Eddie George interview as much as we did. Fantastic stuff. Go vote, too, by the way. Still got plenty of time. Ends at 9 o'clock tonight. We'll have it down to 2. We'll have our championship game tomorrow. But today it's Steve McNair versus Shea Weber and Eddie George versus Pecorine. There's heavy, heavy forces here in the Final Four, man. That is a lot of chalk right there. And we need you to vote like you have been doing. We've had great participation in this bracket, and we're almost done. We're going to crown a winner tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about it on Thursday's show. But we wanted you to hear that Eddie George interview. Just, it's always good to catch up with him and hear what he has to say.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to be able to catch up with him. Because I think his insight on the running back position, even though it's been a while since he's been in the league, his insight on Derrick Henry because of their relationship, that's been well documented. That was one reason why I was really excited to have him on. I mean, telling the old stories was a lot of fun too, but I thought he said it best. He's a unique running back that deserves a unique deal, and so I thought that was very insightful.
Well, speaking of that, former NFL running back Danny Woodhead, right? We all remember Danny Woodhead. I would think if you played fantasy football, at some point you owned Danny Woodhead on your fantasy football team. He joined Golic and Wingo this morning, and that was being aired on 102.5 The Game, and this is what Danny Woodhead said when he was asked if he'd pay Derrick Henry as much as Christian McCaffrey, and this was his answer.
I think Derrick Henry is an absolute savage. He's an unbelievable running back. It would be hard for me to pay maybe someone like that as much, just because if you ask a defensive coordinator, if you guys want to get a defensive coordinator on the show, you ask them what they're scared of. They're scared of Derrick Henry for sure.
Correct.
But what they're scared of is they're scared of matchups, because that's what coaches do. They're into schemes. They're into, hey, what can we make them do? Well, with Derrick Henry, they're like, all right, let's load the box and make Tannehill beat us. Tannehill's obviously a great quarterback, but they're going to pick that. Well, if you go to Carolina, and I understand they're a little bit in a rebuild, but what are you going to do as a defensive coordinator? They're like, all right, we're sitting down game planning. Well, let's take away McCaffrey's run. Oh, great. Well, you know what that means, right? We have to put in a corner to cover him. Well, if you put in a corner to cover him, well, you're now you're stopping their pass, but they're going back to the run, because there's this thing in the NFL called check with me and audibles. If you put in dime on the field, there's no chance they're throwing. They're running inside zone down your throat, because you have four or five offensive linemen that are going to be blocking defensive backs. They're going to be blocking defensive backs. So that puts teams in such a scary mismatch defensively. And then if you go nickel or you go base personnel, you're going to have Christian McCaffrey on a linebacker or a safety. And as we've seen, because he had all those yards and all those receptions, that is not a good recipe for a defense. And so it's just scary, because the defensive corner is like, what the heck do I do? It's like you just throw the paper in the air and you just guess. It's almost like, you know, you close your eyes and put your finger on it, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're going goal line personnel. I know it's 3rd and 15, but I don't know what to call.
There you go. Danny Woodhead this morning on Golic and Wingo talking about Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. I thought it was something that was interesting that you guys said, you and Ryan Porth in the 9 o'clock hour, was who's got more tread on the tires, right? Who's got who's been worn down more, I guess? I don't know. It depends on how you want to ask it. Derrick Henry or Christian McCaffrey? Since you were in that discussion, Willie, I'll start with you. How would you answer that? Who do you think's got more tread on the tire, McCaffrey or Henry? 3 years versus 4 years.
I think it's a great question. And I was fascinated by Danny Woodhead's insight. But at the same time, okay, so let's look at tread. So what's the total amount of touches for Christian McCaffrey, who is younger, right? So how many years is Derek? I got to put Derek's stats alongside of Christian so I can do the math here.
So Derek's
Derek's a little bit older, but this is the point I would make. Before I answer that question, here's the first thought that came to mind as I listened to Danny Woodhead. Christian McCaffrey, for all the production he has and for the matchups he creates, and I think Danny Woodhead is 100% right. He's a nightmare. But his team has only reached the playoffs one time, and they've played one game. So Derrick Henry, I think, you know, the value goes beyond that whole thing about the matchups. So I see what he's saying, but I think the impact on the game that Derrick Henry had last year and arguably the year before in the final month of the season, I still think goes as he's as valuable as anybody is to their team in the game right now. And that doesn't mean I think he should be paid more than Christian McCaffrey. I just think that the impact he's having on the game goes beyond even the numbers he's putting up.
Okay, so how would you answer tread on the tires? Who's got more in your opinion?
All right, so give the numbers. If you have the numbers of touches, let's put that out there first.
Derrick Henry has rushed the ball 804 times, okay, in four seasons. Christian McCaffrey has rushed the ball 623 times in three seasons. Derrick Henry, of course, this is where it's going to get very skewed. He has 57 catches in his four seasons. Christian McCaffrey has 303 receptions in his three-year career. So Derrick Henry has more rushes in 4 years, and Christian McCaffrey obviously has a ton more receptions and receiving yards. So they're pretty close in the rushing department. You know, 623.
It's the total touches that you have to look at.
804 rushes with, you know, a season difference. All right, what are the touches?
For McCaffrey, it's 926 total touches in his career, and then for Derrick Henry, 861. But
when we put that together, don't you think when you carry the ball, there's more punishment that your body takes than when you catch the ball? Would we say that?
At 100%.
I agree with that. But, you know, at the same time, as Teron Davenport has said, I mean, it's hard to bring Henry down. His size, I think, helps him, whereas McCaffrey is, you know, he's a little guy, definitely a different build. So, I do think that, yes, while Derrick Henry is getting hit a lot, I think his size certainly helps him, you know, when it comes to that and the wear.
Yeah, but
and
his body's still taking a pounding. Your size,
sure.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but if you're taking a pounding, you're taking a pounding. I mean, even right. the, you know, Eddie George, after a while, his body, you know, he was right. never the same
Earl
after
Campbell.
Turf. Earl Campbell. I mean, it takes its toll, and he's taken way more of a beating running the ball than I think Christian McCaffrey has. Christian McCaffrey's about space. He's looking for space. Derrick Henry doesn't care what he's got. Derrick Henry, there is no space, he's going to make his space. So there's a lot more impact with a guy like Derrick Henry than Christian McCaffrey.
But all of that being said, though, the lack of workload that Henry had in his first 3 years would give you some reason to hope that the next 3 years could be all seasons where he could be the workhorse, right? If you look through the history, all of the running backs, you know, if you string together, you know, three or four straight years with 300, 350 carries, then that's when you're going to start seeing the wear and tear. But he hasn't had that yet. He's only had the 1 year where he's had over 300 carries, which is becoming increasingly rare now, the way the game is played.
Well, and it was about a month, too. It was about four games, really. When you think about it, I mean, what did he have? What did he have in the Houston game, the final game of the season? How many times did he rush? I mean, look at the last, like, three games. What were his rushing totals?
Let's see here. I'm trying to switch pages. For him in 2019, well, I'm trying. I'm working on it.
32 carries in the Texans game.
Thank you.
32 carries in the NFL. He had 26 carries against Indianapolis. 21 and 18. Let's see. Well, he was hurt. You know, I'm trying to think of the ones where he had the massive carry. So the Kansas City game, he had 23, 26 in the Indianapolis game, and then 32, which you just don't see anymore. And these Eddie George back in that day. Yeah, but to see 32 carries, I get it. He had 211 yards and was breaking the rushing record. But, man, really, when you think about it, there's like three or four games when you look at those numbers. Really, when you think about his career to this point, there's been about a month, you know, the previous season and a month last season. That's really where he's had the bulk of all of his action, right, in like a two-month span of his NFL career.
Yeah.
Right. And so the rate really went up there starting in December of 2018. And then let's also add three playoff games on top of the workload last year. That's got to count for something, right? That was a lot of workload. But I think reasonably, if you're John Robinson, I look at age 26, 27, 28. That's the next 3 years in his age, Derrick Henry. And do I say, is it reasonable that he could be on that level for three more years, and am I willing to pay for that? I think yes, right? Just like McCaffrey at his age, you know, I think the next 3 years he's going to be worth every penny of that $16 million. The question is, what can you do with the rest of your salary cap?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a right answer on who's got more tread.
Well, because, and how we asked the question, Darren, was basically that, but who would you be married to in 2022? So a couple of years from now, knowing that they're both going to have long-term deals, who would you rather be married to and be committed long-term? And I answered it with McCaffrey based on the versatility and all of that. Ryan went with Derrick Henry because of the size and that, you know, he has more durability, which is probably a fair point. But I think we would all agree that with that position, they're both going to battle injuries at some point. That's just, I mean, they already have. I mean, Derrick Henry had the hamstring. So, I mean, that's just a part of playing that position. That's a part of football in general.
But McCaffrey has not missed a game.
No.
Nope.
So, I mean, and that's important.
It's pretty impressive.
You know, I think you can agree.
I can see. Can you guys? You tell me if you disagree with this. I can see McCaffrey evolving at some point in his career away from being the workhorse into a guy that maybe in the twilight of his career can still be the Danny Woodhead type, right? Who extends his career being a little bit more of a third down back. Whereas sure. once Derrick Henry stops being the workhorse, I don't know where his value is.
I think that's a good point.
The fullback.
Yeah, well,
those guys tend to fall off a cliff, kind of like Eddie George. You know, no once doubt. Eddie George was not the same, he was not really a valuable player.
Yeah, and then Floyd had the hard decision of trading him away, sending him to Dallas, where he played what, 8 games, half a season.
Look, this answer has nothing to do with what the Titans should be doing in this moment with Derrick Henry, because the answer is, you know, signing him up to a new deal, but. I don't know how you could possibly answer that Derrick Henry. Look, a guy that size and the pounding that he has taken and he's going to take with the style that he is, I don't know how anybody could honestly think that he's going to be more durable than a guy like Christian McCaffrey. Like I said, Christian McCaffrey is a guy who's looking for space. He's looking for a guy that will just eat you alive. He's not looking for contact. It doesn't mean he's scared of contact. It just means he's running away from contact. Derrick Henry is running to his place. No, and whatever's in the way is in the way. And you're saying adding 2 more years of a pounding, which he's already missed games. And as Willie brought up, Christian McCaffrey never has missed games. Does it mean that he's not going to? No, probably not. But I just don't know how you could answer Derrick Henry, because don't forget, every year, and if you pay him, is another thing. You think they're going to pay Derrick Henry and then slough off Derrick Henry and not use him as much? Heck no. No, they're going to use him just right. They're going to use him again, just like they used him this past season. I mean, they're going to pay the guy. He is going to get used like he did last season. I just think a guy with that style, every year that goes by, you're holding your breath, right? You're crossing your fingers and you're holding your breath. Does it mean that he's going to, you know, wear down in 2 years and not be effective anymore? No, not at all. It just means the odds are way more, in my opinion, way more in favor of that. The answer being Derrick Henry is going to wear down more than Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how you could not think Derrick Henry is going to be a guy that's going to have, you know, in 2 years from now, that could be the answer. I just don't know how that could be.
Yeah, and that's why when he asked the question of who would you rather have in 2022 or be committed to in 2022, I said Christian McCaffrey because of everything you just said.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
And that's not a slight on Derrick Henry. No. It's just trying to be realistic about the whole thing. Yeah. Well, and position and style.
Right. Because Christian McCaffrey is going to get a lot of touches basically as a receiver out of the backfield. That's how he's built. That's why he got paid. That's why he got paid yesterday for that versatility that he has. And I think with all of this, that's why it's so important for the Titans to find that guy that can be behind Derrick Henry and almost be, you know, not, you know, be the second back, but also be what Derrick Henry was to DeMarco Murray, knowing that he was the second back, but the eventual replacement. So have your succession plan in place. Because this, whatever this contract looks like, I mean, like we all know that after a couple of years, they probably could get out of it if they wanted to.
Let me just tell you, Chase, and you remember, but Willie and I were covering them, and we were there at the games, and I know you went to games too, but you were obviously much younger. But there was a time when you looked at a guy like Eddie George, and you just thought he was invincible. I mean, honestly, he looked like something you built in a lab. Okay, I mean, if you saw him, he was truly a specimen. And I thought it was very interesting, by the way, in that interview for him to talk about the coach that said, man, you're a rose. You're beautiful to look at, but you're, you know, you just want to look at your soft. What was the exact words? He didn't say soft.
Called him rose petal.
Rose petal, right.
You're pretty to look at, but fragile. You're
fragile. Thank you. Fragile. That was the word. I knew it wasn't soft. Fragile. And how much that motivated him. I'm telling you, Eddie, the way he – think about this. His rookie year, he had 335 carries. 335 carries, his rookie year. Just think about that. That's already more than Derrick Henry. In Derrick Henry's best year is his fourth year. Eddie George had 335 carries. That's 30-something more carries than Derrick Henry had last year. 357, 348, 320, 403, 315, 343. Okay? 312. Think about that. 2, 4, 6. That is the first eight seasons in the league. And think about, and you just think that you can't, going back to this conversation, but it just, to Willie's point, just it literally went off the cliff. Because once a guy like that, he was never the same from the turf toe. And that was what, after the 2000 season, is that right? The 403 carries? Now, he still got a bulk of the carries, but he was truly never the same. He just wasn't. Even though he had 315 carries the next year, he was under 1,000 yards for the first time in his career, 939. He played every game, but you could tell he wasn't the same running back.
He was hurt.
He was hurt. He was playing through it. He was the tough son of a gun. We all know that. But just once again, that body type and that running style, it's just inevitable. It just is. And Eddie George is the guy that everybody watched and looked at and said, if there's anybody that you cannot break down, it's Eddie George, man. He's a robot. He's a machine out there. And guess what? He broke down. It just happens. So I guess getting back to it, it doesn't mean you don't pay Derrick Henry. They've got to. I'm just saying, you know, every year that goes by, you're going to be holding your breath and crossing your fingers and going, please don't let this be the year that his body completely breaks down, right? Don't you think they have to privately thinking that, even though they know they have to pay him?
Yeah.
I mean, they have no choice. They know that. They know they're in that position of this is what it is, and it's a tough position to be in, but we have no choice. We just have to do it.
I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. I'm going to. A foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. They've been at it for a long time. And I know there's a lot of you out there listening to this that's a homeowner, as we all sit in our homes, a lot of us, and spending a significant time in our homes. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. And since we've all been at home and we're doing a lot more projects around the house because we've got more time these days, maybe you've noticed while doing those projects that you've got some bricks that are cracking, or maybe you see some walls that are bowing, or you've got doors or windows that you've been opening, shutting a lot, that maybe they're sticking, or drywall separating, or maybe a chimney that's tilting or leaning. All these are signs that something's going on. And more than likely, while you like to tackle projects at home, these are probably not the projects you want to be tackling. This is where you need to get the experts out to your house, and USS, they're the experts. They believe in their quality of work and their reputation and the integrity of their work. And they're going to come out and assess the situation and tell you what you need to do, or maybe you don't have to worry about something. But if you do need something done, they're going to give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. As a homeowner, these are things that should get you to perk up. If you need them out at your house, call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always check them out on their website, usstn.com. That's usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
Joel, does McCaffrey's deal affect Derrick Henry if you're negotiating it?
Oh, if I'm negotiating it, yes. But objectively, no. Because they are two different types of players. You got one guy who is a throwback, two down running back, and you got another guy who is the second coming of Marshall Faulk, or Marshall Faulk says a better version of me, who has more catches than anybody in NFL history after 3 years besides Michael Thomas. But I think on this team, you're probably going to have to pay him just because of what he means to the offense.
There you go, former agent Joel Corey. Now with CBS Sports, he talks about NFL contracts and salary cap. That's his expertise as a writer now with CBS Sports. And he joined Jared and the GM yesterday. That was the GM laughing, I'm assuming, because that means, I was right. You need to listen to me, young man. I have a lot of experience. That's what I took from that laugh. But that's what he said yesterday on the show. So I think that's kind of what we were talking about in the first segment of the show, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that, and Ryan and I played that same clip, and I, I went back and listened to some of that interview, and Joel knows. I mean, I think that if you're Jimmy Sexton, you're going to look at this deal and see if you have anything that you can use to your advantage. But, you know, he said it, Joel Corey said it right there. They're just different positions. So I think that that's probably what it's going to come down to.
I think Alan Bell said it best earlier when he joined us at the beginning of the second hour. While it's important for the market, it's not necessarily important for Derrick Henry's deal because of what we've just talked about and what you just heard. They're just they're two different backs, as we've been pointing out.
But it's going to be complicated. Joel Corey admitted that, you know, if he's an agent and he's negotiating, he is going to use the McCaffrey thing. So you know Jimmy Sexton's going to do it, whether you agree that he should or not. I think it's just a fact. So I think that's the number one thing that I've been concerned about the whole time with this is it's a tricky negotiation. It always is for running backs regardless. But I think even on top of your normal tricky negotiation, let's take Le'Veon Bell, which was very complicated and never really got resolved with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is even more complicated because of Henry's uniqueness, that he is essentially a two-down back, although he has gotten better, I think, as a pass protector, that sort of thing. It's not like you can't ever put him in the game on third down. Obviously, if it's third and one or third and two, you can have him on the field on third down. You know, it's not like he's never in the game on third down. So two-down back might be a little bit, a little bit off base when you throw that out there. But it's a complicated negotiation that we have in front of us. I just don't see how it's going to get done anytime soon.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that. There's a reason why nothing's been done, right? I think the Titans would have loved nothing more from this whole time frame of when they placed the tag on him to now, leading up to the draft, that they could do exactly what Carolina did yesterday, right? But it's very clear that it doesn't mean it's panic time. It just means that the two sides are going to have to hunker down and they're going to have to relinquish some of their stances, right? Because it's very clear that one side and the other side have their way of thinking, and there's a lot of gap in between them. And so they're going to have to figure out a way to, even though we're practicing social distancing and keeping further apart, they're going to need to come closer together.
And I think they have time to do that. You know, they have until July 15th, which is that deadline, to do that. And I think John Robinson is looking at the rest of his team right now, too. I'm not saying that Derrick Henry's not a priority, but I think he's having to look at the draft and, you know, potentially signing Jadeveon Clowney. So I think they have plenty of time to get it done. I don't know how far apart they are, I think you said it best. Panic mode is not – you're not there yet, and you shouldn't be. Now, you get to early July and nothing's done, then that's probably when panic sets in. But, you know, after the draft, that's when I think he turns his focus to Derrick Henry and trying to get that done.
The reason that I don't think anybody's panicking is because it seems very clear that both sides are in agreement on one thing. He wants to be here, and they want him to be here, right? And that is a big part of it. I mean, right? I mean, it seemed very clear that Le'Veon Bell didn't care one way or the other. He didn't. It's not like he said, you know, look, I'm not happy, but, you know, look, this is the team that drafted me. This is where I want to be. They've stood behind me, and no matter what, I mean, we're going to get this figured out. We're just a ways off. It's not like Le'Veon Bell was saying that. He was always threatening him with being a holdout, right? Like, I won't play.
Sure.
Like, he was always threatening. Like, Derrick Henry hasn't done any of that. There haven't been any threats in any of this negotiation.
He signed the tag.
Right away. Which right. A lot of people are like, wow, okay.
He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy either.
No.
You know, he's going to figure out how to make it work. He wants to get paid, and rightfully so, and he should. He's earned it. I firmly believe he won't play on the franchise tag contract this year. I think they will get a long-term deal done. I don't know what you guys think, but I think they get it done before that July 15th deadline, and that just – it's because both sides know they have to. So I just believe that's going to happen, and you shouldn't necessarily worry about it, even though – people will because of the position, but I just believe they get it done.
Do you know why, Willie?
Honestly, I can't believe he signed the tender. I know that this is not your usual off season, but he lost some leverage, I think, in signing the tender, because you can now sit back and just let it rip. You know, if you feel like you have to, you don't want to do that. As everybody has said, from Eddie George to Jeff Fisher to all of the people, you don't want this hovering over the season like a black cloud. You know, a storm cloud. You just don't want that, because you want Derrick Henry to really feel happy and invested and good about where the team sees him. But at the same time, he signed the deal. So, you know, you could go into the season and kind of see what happens, which isn't good for Derrick Henry, because what happens if in the fifth week or the seventh week he gets a really bad injury? It changes everything.
Indeed it does. Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that were surprised that he did it right away. But I just think I'll tell you another reason that I believe that there is going to be a deal. And you asked, Chase, is there any chance, you know, is he possibly playing under the tag? I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why. Because they haven't signed Clowney, and they haven't brought back Logan Ryan. So they're not spending money, right?
Right.
It's not like they're out there overcommitting, and then they have to go back and go, "Whoops, sorry, Derek. You've got to play under the tag number because we're out of money. The well's dried up." They're not doing that, because it's very clear that they've got their bag of money, to use an Ozark reference. You know, maybe John Robinson's put the money behind a wall, right? And just like they did in Ozark, and maybe that money's just sitting there behind a wall. Hopefully, nobody finds it. And they're saving that for Derrick Henry. But they're not out there spending the money that they've probably put aside for him in that range, right? And so that's telling me that they are going to get a deal done, that he's not going to play under the tag. Because if they had signed Clowney to $17 million, okay, they're spending a lot of money. Or they brought back Logan Ryan and they paid him at least what he was making in the last go-around. Uh-oh, well, they're spending a lot of money. Is there going to be enough left for Derrick Henry? Plus, you've got draft picks. They're not doing that. So, to me, that's telling me, the sign to me is, okay, let's try to get this Derrick Henry deal done. And then when we get that done, then we can maybe go out and work, find out what we have left to go possibly bring a player that we know back, or go sign that big free agent if we can.
But keep this in mind, a little over $10 million or whatever the tag number is already counting against the cap. So you're basically just going to add $3 or $4 million to it. And so that's another reason why it's not that big of a deal, because it's not like you're adding a ton more to your salary cap hit. They got plenty of room, as you said. So I think that's just another thing to think about too.
We'll come back and we'll talk to Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin to kick off the final hour of Tuesday's show. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.